Good morning and welcome to Trinity Chapel. It's such a pleasure to have all of you here on our campus. And we always feel that we'd like to have a chapel service today to introduce you to the most important thing that takes place on this campus. And in our daily chapel services that take place every day during class hours and at 10 o'clock, we have about a 15-minute chapel service. We follow the Christian church calendar, so as you see in our service today laid out for you, that we're celebrating Palm Sunday, which is tomorrow, and you'll see the hymns and themes flowing from that as well. We typically like to stand to sing our hymns because that's the way we sing best, and so I invite you as we worship today to rise and join with me in singing the three verses of hymn 277. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the epistle lesson for Palm Sunday. It is from St. Paul's letter to the congregation in Philippi, the second chapter. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. One of the first things that was probably put on your body as you came into this world, besides a blanket and a diaper, was a little wristband, more than likely at the hospital, to identify you. Probably had information on there about who you were in your life and who your parents were. But one of the reasons that wristband was put on your little wrist was selfishness, to protect you from selfishness. So no one would steal you and take you to be their own child. That's happened once in a while. And that's one of the reasons that hospitals put those little wristbands on babies' wrists. And from that point in your life, all the way until you die someday, this is something you have to be protected from your whole life, is selfishness. It's the reason you probably have keys in your pocket right now, if you really think about it, why we have to lock things up. It's the reason why we have to have money and a standard of exchange, because people would be selfish without that. It's the reason we have to have banks. It's even somewhat of the reason why we have to have traffic signals. It's the reason you have to have passwords for your computer and your iPhone and your little thumb imprint to get into your iPhone. It's the root of all conflicts in marriages. It's the root of all conflicts between parents and children. It's why Valley Fair has to have rules posted about people not cutting in line. It's the reason why we have to have courts and lawyers and contracts. And finally, at the end of your life, it's the reason you'll have to draw up a will. Selfishness, if you really think about it. And open up the newspaper today and read almost any story in the news, and if you think about it hard enough and long enough, probably somewhere in that story, someone is being selfish. It's just absolutely everywhere. And the same selfishness that sends a high finance con man to prison for ripping off people from all their retirement funds, that same selfishness and self-centeredness, if we're honest with ourselves, is found inside of each one of our hearts as well. And it's interesting, we all hate when people are selfish toward us, don't we? We can't stand it when people treat us that way. And yet, if we're really honest with ourselves, I know for myself, I'm quite often tempted, my first thought in a situation is, well, what's going to be best for me? What's going to be the best thing for me in this situation? For me, it started out when I was very, very young, when I was a little child. And I bet if you talk to your parents, they had the same problem with you too. And your parents had the same problem their grandparents, your grandparents had to deal with. What is best for me? We just naturally tend to think in terms of what I want first. Some families have a rule that if they're going to divide a candy bar between two kids, that the first one gets to cut and the second one gets to pick. And that's the best way to ensure that it'll be fair, because of selfishness. Okay? We just have a tendency to want the biggest and grab the best and always take what is going to be better for us and not to think of other people. It's not our first natural impulse to try to keep in mind what's going to benefit another person. Now, all of this that I've been describing is in quite stark contrast to what we see in our text regarding the Son of God, regarding our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words again. Being in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, there are different ways we can try to imagine what it would be like to be humbled in life. Maybe you've had moments in your life where something happened and you felt very humiliated in front of people. But it's pretty impossible for us to comprehend what it's like for the Son of God, God himself in all eternity on his throne, to become a creature like us, confined by the rules of this world. That's a drop, that's a humiliation that is kind of beyond our ability to comprehend. What's the closest you could possibly come to? Maybe if you've got a little goldfish in your house, to try to trade places with the goldfish. That doesn't even come close to what God himself would lower himself down and become humbled to the form of a person. And not only that, but once he's in that humble form, to let himself get spit at, this is God, let himself get spit at, whipped, beaten, and finally crucified on a cross and have his cold body stuck into a grave. So what in the world would be motivating the heart of God to end up being so selfless instead of selfish? What would be motivating God to do something like this? Well, it's you and me. It's the fact that we are so selfish, in fact. The fact that we have not just that sin, but many, many sins like that in front of God. And he would have every right to just condemn us and throw us away forever. and let us never get to see what heaven is like. He could easily punish me for all the times in my life that I thought of me first instead of my sister or anybody else that I knew. But God chose instead to rescue me and you from that situation. And he did it, ironically, by being completely selfless. He emptied himself of being, of living and enjoying all the wonders of heaven. And though he didn't stop being God, he chose not to utilize that power and majesty in order to come to earth, take on human flesh, live with poor parents, never have any property, and ultimately die so that your sins and mine could be completely paid for before the throne of God. The fact that God considered you personally and your future so highly is what caused this all to be done. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and became incarnate. You're looking ahead at your future. Those of you that are here signing up for classes today, it's a pretty exciting day. And you're looking ahead at all the classes you're going to be taking and what the experience of coming to college is going to be like. Some of you know exactly what you want to do, and maybe we'll go through and do all of that. Some of you think you know exactly what you want to do, and it might change. I think the average college graduate changes his or her major 3.4 times, they claim. Some of you have no clue what you want to do, and that's fine too. Sometimes it's good to be a blank slate. Don't feel bad if you're in that category. But whatever you do with your life, what this text is talking about really has to do with this college is about, because it's talking about two facets of your life. It has two lessons for us, if you will, about your life. And it deals with the primary purpose Bethany exists and the secondary but very important reason that Bethany exists. The first is this: the primary purpose for this college is to make sure that you get to understand and live in the wonderful grace of God who was selfless for you so you could someday have heaven waiting for you. I don't care who you are or what sins you bring with you in your conscience. Because of the blood of Christ shed for you, I'm here to tell you today, and you will hear it all the time in this chapel, that God has taken care of your sin before his throne. And through faith in that Savior, you have the promise of heaven. So that's the first most important thing we do on this campus. But the second follows and is connected to it and related to our text as well. And that is this: God now calls upon you who believe in that to use your life and your future and your education and your talents and your ability to reflect that same selflessness. Instead of looking at your life and your education and all of that as a way to get a job so that you can have more of what you want, you'll find that ends up being pretty unfulfilling by the end of life. God would have you look at your talents and abilities, your education and everything, and instead say, how can God utilize these gifts in me and all of this knowledge that I'm going to learn to benefit other people? To benefit other people in their lives. How can I use my gifts to benefit humanity? And when that is done, when we have that same mind of Christ about how he was toward us, God says there will be great blessings in our lives. Our hope and prayer is that all of you have a wonderful college experience and that God primarily keeps you in this faith in Christ so you will someday be before his throne in heaven. And may he also utilize the many gifts he has given you to serve your fellow man as Christ has served you. Amen. We join in singing our next hymn. I invite you now to turn to page 154 in the front part of your hymn book, page 154. And please join with me in the prayer for Palm Sunday, prayer number 52 on page 154. Number 52. Almighty and everlasting God, you have caused your beloved Son to take our nature upon himself, that he might give us the example of humility and suffer death upon the cross for our sins. Mercifully grant us a believing knowledge of this, that we may follow the example of his patience and be made partakers of the benefits of his sacred passion and death. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.